1 Corinthians chapter 7, as we continue to go through the book of Corinthians. For those that are new, what we do here is we try to go through the Bible verse by verse. And so Sunday mornings we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. Prior to this we went through the book of Acts. On Sunday night, many times we'll go through various books of the Bible. The last book of the Bible we went through was the book of Revelation. When I finished that in January, folks asked me to do topical messages, so I've been doing topical messages since February. This afternoon we'll finish a second part of bitterness, slaying the giant of bitterness. And then on Wednesday evening we go through the Old Testament. We're in 2 Kings, and the great king, Hezekiah. We'll be doing the second week of Hezekiah here this Wednesday night. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's just read verses 10 through 16. That'll be the text from which the message will come this morning. And let's see what the Lord might have. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says this: "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." Verse 12. "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away." Verse 13. "And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him." Verse 14. "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" This morning the title of the message is Instructions for the Married. Let me just get us where we've been with 1 Corinthians. Remember, this is a very young church. It was established in about 50 A.D. It's been around for about 5 years when Paul wrote this letter, in about 55 A.D. We dealt with early on, and particularly through chapter 4, about division in the church, people siding with different personalities in the church, and that got them off the focus of what we're about. See, the devil will do anything he can to get us focused on good things, on bad things, whatever it takes to get us distracted so that you and I, we don't tell anyone about Jesus Christ. You see, the devil wins. If we are quiet and we don't share Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, and risen again, if we don't share Jesus Christ with others, that's success. You see, the greatest thing we can do is bring honor and glory to the Lord, and the greatest act of God Himself was that He sent His only begotten Son, that God became flesh and became a man. If we want to glorify the Lord, then we tell other people about Jesus Christ. But what Christians do the least is we don't tell people about Jesus. Well, see, that's what the devil was about it in the church at Corinth. They were a very young church. Let's get them all in an uproar. Let's get them all divided. Let's get them all focused on the wrong things. And so that's what the devil had great success with this church. I think he has great success with that with many churches. And so, you see, I think he can have great success with that even in our church. If we get too carried away about what we do, who we are, and we forget that the reason we exist is so that we can be a lighthouse in this community. And the only way this community, you know what I kind of love? I could have called ourselves Hidden Baptist Church if I'd known we were going to be in this location, right? Because nobody would ever find us, right? And so the only way people are going to know about us if we go. There's something good about that, right? I think in the 60s, 70s, and then part of the 80s, the philosophy of churches, particularly I'll say Baptist churches, was that the lost would come to us and we would bring the lost in. And here's what you had in the 60s, 70s, and the early 80s. If you were a Christian during that time and you sat in messages, you would think the same message was preached every Sunday morning. You're like, I've heard that again. And look, I'm all for the gospel. But if you sat in years and years and years, you thought, I've heard this before. Because the preacher was preaching to the lost. And look, I'm going to always include the gospel in every message because I think you and I as believers need the gospel. But when we go verse by verse, I'm going to preach on some different things as well. You see, the way we reach the lost is not by necessarily bringing them to church, but I love you bringing your lost friends, your lost neighbors, have them come to church, absolutely. But most people won't come to church that aren't Christians, or that at least don't agree with us, right? We have to go to them. And so all the devil wants to do is get us distracted so that we, whether it's on good things or whether it's on bad things, we don't take the gospel. Well, then you know Corinth. Remember, to Corinthianize was a horrible statement. And so there was decadence within this city. It was a horrible city. And so Paul begins to address them that they had become carnal. They'd become carnal Christians. And so then he begins, and you'll see how the flow of this. Paul addresses the singles. Then he addresses, you know, the best state, and we'll talk about last week's message just briefly, and then he addresses marriage. So what he talked about with singles is abstain from fornication. That's inappropriate relations with the opposite gender. And so you don't have that privilege, you don't have that right to be physical with your boyfriend or girlfriend if you're not married. And so Paul deals with that very frankly, very bluntly, and says, if you're single, then you don't get those privileges that come with marriage, and you need to stay away from those. And it was rampant within the city of Corinth, and it had infiltrated the church there at Corinth. Well, then last week we had three thoughts. We said it is good not to touch a woman, it is good to be single, it is good to be married. I had two great examples that were brought to me this past week of due benevolence. Remember this? I think that one of the greatest things that we can remember from last week's message is just a simple thought that be kind to your spouse. Just be nice. Just be nice. And Seth brought a good example that, you know, we learned last week. Remember this? The previous week before last, we learned that as a believer in Jesus Christ, our bodies aren't our own. The Lord owns our bodies. They're the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Lord owns our bodies, and so what we do with our bodies, we involve Jesus Christ with that, so we should be very particular. We should take care of these bodies. Where we go, He goes. What we do, He does. That ought to be a thought that sobers us and gets us very serious-minded. Well, we saw last week that if you're married then, your spouse owns your body and not you. So Seth realized this, and Seth apparently was notorious for not wearing a seatbelt. Has he been doing better this week? Wearing a seatbelt. So he looked at Lauren and said, you know, my body's not my own, so I'll wear my seatbelt. And so now he's wearing a seatbelt. I think that's great. A couple of weeks ago, Bev and Gerald, they joined on, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks? Maybe 3 weeks ago? I've lost track. Was it two? 2 weeks ago? You can't remember? No, it's... And so, it's right, that's right. How can I expect them to remember? No. But they told me a story afterwards, and I love this, right? And I think Gerald had had peace for a while, and they had talked that previous Saturday night, and Bev just didn't have peace. And she ran me down the road, and no, she didn't. I'm just kidding. I'm joking, Bev. I can only joke with you. But she didn't have peace. And you know what I love? Gerald did the right thing. He said, well, we'll wait until you have peace. You see, that's due benevolence. Do you know what Gerald could have done? Gerald could have said, well, honey, let me show you here. Who's the head of the home? Muchacho. You know, me. I'm the head of the home. And this is what we're going to do. You know what I thought he did? He gave due benevolence to her. And he said, this is such a huge decision, such a big deal, that we won't do anything until you have peace. You see, men, we can pull that trump card and, you know, I'm the head of the home. But I will tell you this, more times than not, we should show due benevolence to our spouse. And he did. And then on Sunday morning, all on her own, she just squeezed his hand and said, it's time. And so he ran real quick so she didn't change her mind. And but I love that. You see, to me, I think that's biblical. That we could pull that trump card, but you know what? We need to love our wives. We need to love our husbands. And if we are just nice to people, you'll be blown away what may change in our lives. Just a simple little truth. Well, this morning we're going to talk about some instruction for marriage. Let's look at verses 10 and 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Remember, now let's look at verse 1. from chapter 7, probably through chapter 16, it's all in response to this. Look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 7. It says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me." So Paul, from chapter 7 on, is going to be answering questions that the church at Corinth has. The interesting thing is, we don't get the questions, we just get the response from Paul. So he continues to respond here. Let's look at verse 10. He says this, "And unto the married," because remember last week he said, "You know, if I'm going to give advice," he says, now this is not a commandment, it's not a requirement. He needed to make sure. It was something that God wanted us to know. The best state to be in would be the state of singlehood, so that we would be focused and not distracted on the things of Jesus Christ. The Bible's clear about that. The Bible's also clear that it is a good thing to be married, and if you cannot hold yourself and contain yourself physically, that you should find a wife, you should find a husband, you should get married. That's a good thing as well. But the best thing for the ministry of Jesus Christ, Paul said, was that you be single. But it wasn't a commandment. It's not a requirement. See, being married is a wonderful thing, but I want everyone to know this, the best thing would be to be totally focused on the cause of Jesus Christ, undistracted, so that the only one that you have to deal with is yourself. When you get married, we become distracted from eternal things because we have needs of our spouse and we have then children and all that goes along with that. Paul was clear, not a commandment. So I want to tell you this, all of our singles, you're in the best state. Don't bemoan that state. Serve the Lord. I will tell you this, my personal experience, if we serve the Lord and He wants you to be married, He will take care of that. I told you before, my schedule was crazy, right? And I would work 7 to 10, go to school 10:30 to 2, work 2:30 to 5, then go to school 6:30 to 9. And I was a youth director and I had a bus ministry. And I told you I would see my parents at church and I would hug my mom. And somebody saw me hugging my mom at church one time and they thought, how weird. They said, "Don't you live at home?" I said, "Yeah, but I haven't seen her for a couple weeks." My life was that way. I had no time to go finding a woman. Now, I'm telling you, you know, while I was doing all those things, it'd be like, you know, the previous New Year's Eve, I was playing Uno with my friends, dominating, you know, with the draw fours. And who cares about that? It's all about winning for me. That's so sad, but I did win, just so you know. But I was playing Uno with my friends, and I told them, "I am not playing Uno with you guys next New Year's Eve. I'm going to have a girlfriend." And they're like, yeah, you know. And so I didn't really have any plans. I was too busy to go look for a girl. And after Deb called me for the fourth time, I found no. You know what the Lord did? I believe the Lord parachuted her into my life. And I believe God will do that for you. You know, I don't think you have to fret about it. I want to tell you this, pursue the Lord. Pursue souls. God will take care of everything else. Isn't that what He says? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What we fret about, God says, "I'll take care of that. You just focus on me. You just focus on souls that need Jesus Christ, and He'll take care of it all." That's not an excuse for laziness. That's not an excuse for irresponsibility. But what we fret about, what we worry about, God says, "I got that. Don't you forget what it's all about." And so now we're going to look at some instruction for marriage. And He says here in verse 10, He says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband." Verse 11, "And if she depart, let her remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." Basic principles of marriage. The first one is, don't divorce. Turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And before some of you cringe, I know this. You know, we have probably at least a half dozen folks in here that have been divorced and are remarried. So you hang in there. I'll try to give you the full biblical perspective and how we should respond to that. So this is not a session to beat up on those that have divorced or remarried. It's not. But what we want to do is we want to see the biblical perspective of that, right? We want to see what the Lord says. But here's a basic principle of marriage is, when you get married, don't divorce. Right? Matthew chapter 19, let's see what the Lord says here to the Pharisees that were trying to trick Him. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 through 9. It says here, the Pharisees, verse 3, Matthew 19, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto Jesus, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He, Jesus, said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso remaineth, or whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Those are strong words. What Jesus is saying here is, he gives one reason, and I believe there are three biblical reasons, and we'll talk about what I even mean by that. Jesus gives one reason here for biblical divorce, and that is the unfaithfulness of a spouse. Fornication, adultery. The unfaithfulness of a spouse. And so, that doesn't mean you have to divorce. You understand this? But biblically, you could divorce and remarry. You see, the whole issue of the scriptures is not if you can divorce or not, but can you divorce and remarry without committing sin? You see, so Jesus gives one reason here, and he says, if your spouse commits adultery, a relationship with someone else, then you have that right, but it's not a requirement. And so, this is important. That's one. We'll look at the other two. They're actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is important. It's important for all of our singles to know. Is be careful. Be careful who you marry, because once you do, let's say that they're not all that you expected them to be. Right? I feel as my wife, oh, she's back there. Okay. And so I thought about this as I was preparing for this message. If you think I'm a jerk now, you should have seen me 28 years ago. And I feel sorry for my wife. I think about that. I think, man, she had no clue what she got, right? I remember one time, I mean, this is just terrible. I'll tell on myself, but she puts up with this and she still likes me. I remember one time, I don't even know what it was. This is a jerk. And she loved me, right? I was holding a 13x9 pan of something. And she were going somewhere and she made me mad. I was like, now she didn't necessarily feel the love right then, but I think about that, you know? I mean, let's be clear. Is there anything that would justify that? That was 27 years ago, so if you just kind of, you know, and I haven't dropped a 13x9 pan in the last 3 weeks, so give me a break. But I think about that. I think, what a jerk. I've made my wife cry more than any other person in this world. But you know what? You know why she's still married to me? Because I am pretty awesome, right? No, because she loves Jesus Christ. You know, if my wife would have said, you know, it is not what I expected. You know, this was a surprise. You know, I mean, when we were dating, right? I mean, I had hundreds of stuffed animals, and you know, it was really cool. And then when we got married, man, because when he does the bills, stay away, because it's like, you know, fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of a wife spending too much money, and you know, and so it was like, don't come around me. But she loved Jesus, and so I want you to know this is that. The Bible says, when you get married, make it work. And I know, we'll talk about those exceptions, right? Those reasons, and this isn't to beat anybody up. But I believe this, I believe everyone that's been divorced and you've gone through that, right? It's never pleasant. I've never met anyone that says, it's no big deal. It's really not. So just why don't you just try it? And if you get divorced, it's no big deal. Everybody that I've known has gone through a divorce. It's painful. I've never met anyone else yet that says, oh, no, it's, you know, seven times. It's, you know, just a piece of cake. It's It's overwhelming. I think everyone that's been through that, you would want me to preach this message to every one of our young people that says this. And I know these guys, they're all like, no, I'm not getting married. Not planning on it. I mean, that's where I was. I was like, we are single. You know, I'd have the, you know, everybody be out, repent and believe. I'd be like, stay single. You know, and so I had my signs. And so I get it. But it's, understand this. Whoever you marry, let's say, oh, she's the meanest woman in the world. Meanness doesn't give you a reason to check out. And let me just read for you in Malachi. Malachi chapter 2 says this, for the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. The Lord hates divorce. That's very important. And so do you see the balance of this? Here's the solution that we have in America today. Do you see the solution in America today? I got it, preacher. I'll just live with them. No, two chapters ago, the Bible says, flee fornication. The plan is not just live with them, try it out, make sure it works on a trial period, and then, you know, 6 months same as cash, and then maybe you'll get married. And no, the Bible doesn't talk that way. The Bible says this. The Bible says, flee fornication, and the Bible says it's better to be single, but if you can't contain the flesh, then you should get married and have a spouse, have a husband, have a wife. But remember this, though, this is the whole balance of the Bible. When you get a spouse, when you get a husband, when you get a wife, it's intended for life. For better, for worse. For drop 13x9 plans or whatever. I'm not going to tell all my stories to you because, you know, the next Sunday will be like empty, right? But my wife has taught me so much. You know what I love? Here's the key. The key is this. And we will look at some biblical reasons, but, you know, divorce has never been an option for us because, and that helps us. You know why? Because, I mean, you know, there's been times where you're like, I know where Paul's coming from. Being single would be better. No doubt about it. Amen, Paul. But Paul then, you see what he's saying is, can you see what people conclude? It's better to be single, honey. You know, I would never divorce you, except Paul said it's better to be single, so I'm going to put you away. All right? Catch you on the flip side. See, Paul then comes back and says this, no. No, you see, that's not God's plan. And you know what the best thing is? It's part of God's plan is this, is since I know this, that Deb and I are going to be married, right? Till death do we part. Who's going to kill whom, right? Is the real question. Since we're going to stay married for the rest of our lives, right? It's going to be this. I probably should reconcile with her and get along, right? Because the alternative is not good, right? You walk by. You know, we've been in those situations before at home, right? Where it's like, man, it's a horrible thing. You know, they say, you know, what a happy wife is a happy home, but you know, a happy husband is a happy home too. If the old husband's not happy, then that home's not good. And so you know what? Mom and dad need to be getting along. And so since you're going to have to stay together anyway, why don't you just get along, right? And then you just go a few verses up and the Bible says, just be kind to her. How about trying that? No, I don't like that because she's a jerk. He's a jerk. Why would I ever be kind to them? Because God said to. So God says, don't divorce. Here's what he says. Look at verse 11. And if she departs, so this is, I think, is saying if they divorce, let her remain unmarried. That's why I say that. Let her remain unmarried. Or be reconciled to her husband. So it's this. Let's say this couple, they get divorced. And you see, there's no reason in verse 10 for them to get divorced. It doesn't deal with the adultery. And Paul deals with one other reason here in verses 12 through 16. And then we'll see in verse 39 another reason. But Paul says there that, you know, they just got divorced. They couldn't get along. That's not an acceptable biblical reason, the Bible says. Figure it out. Get along. And so it says, but if she depart or if she gets divorced, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. And so here's what the Bible says. It's this. Its basic principle is don't divorce or reconcile or remain single. That's the basic teaching of the Bible. Let's review again. Here's what the Bible says. It is best if you're single. For those that are married, not really an option. If you get divorced for just any old reason, either reconcile or remain single. Remember, I told you guys this. You guys are giving me the same reaction you did last week. You know, last week when I was preaching 1 Corinthians 7, people didn't move. If I move, he gonna think he talking to me. I mean, there are people that it's like, you know, had an itch. On that verse. And so you guys, it was the weirdest situation I've ever had in my life. You're acting that way again today. I've told you this. I think we want to know what the Bible says, right? And I think you want your children to know this, don't you? I think you want people to know this, that say this. Marriage is a big deal and it's kind of like one and done is the principle of God's Word, right? Now, we saw Jesus say if the horrible situation happens that unfaithfulness is done by one of the spouses that you can biblically get divorced and remarry. But you know this? I think if at all possible, God would still say He would prefer reconciliation because He hates divorce of all kind. God is a God of compassion. He is a God of love. Now let's look at verses 12 through 16. He says this, but to the rest, I speak, not the Lord. Now let me explain this. He says, but to the rest, speak I, not the Lord. Now what is that about? You know, some people say, oh, this is not inspired Scripture. No, that's not what he's talking about. You know what Paul's saying? What he's about to tell us, he says, to the rest speak I, not the Lord. You won't find the Lord Jesus Christ addressing verses 12 through 16. That's all he's saying. He's not saying, these are my opinion, they're not the inspired word of the God. No, these are the inspired words of God. What he's saying, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. He's just saying this. You won't find Jesus Christ having addressed what I'm just about to address here. So here's what he says. If any brother... A brother would be a Christian, right? Any Christian hath a wife that believeth not. So a Christian man has a wife that's not a Christian. And she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Now we're going to deal with mixed marriages. What I mean by mixed marriage is, well, that's a mouthful today, right? Saved and lost. I want you to be clear. The only thing the Bible opposes with mixed marriages is someone that's saved to someone that's lost. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So while you're turning there, I want you to be clear. There is no forbidding of different colors of people marrying. None whatsoever. No problem with a Hispanic marrying a Caucasian. No problem with an African marrying a Hispanic or Caucasian. Or I could go on and on and on. There are no varieties that are opposed in the Scriptures. You understand that? So when I'm talking mixed marriages, I'm not talking colors of skin. We've gotten so ridiculous for so long, centuries of prejudice, that we actually think, and it's terrible, that Christians have tried to use the Bible to forbid that. Here's what the Bible forbids. You should not be married to an unbeliever. But here's the thing in 1 Corinthians, it addresses that. What happens if you are married to an unbeliever? What do you do? Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Let's look at that. The Bible says here, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial meaning the devil. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The principle of God's word is this. An unbeliever should not be yoked with a believer. Or better said, a believer should not be yoked with an unbeliever. Now, You know, there are questions of what is yoked, right? I deal with situations where people are living together. And people have children. Look, that's about as yoked as you get. Let's make it right before God. Do you know what I instruct people? They're living together, they have children, man, they're yoked. Let's make this right before God. You're married. Let's get married. Let's make it right before God. You know there's Baptist preachers that aren't happy with me? They disagree with that? Look, I believe it would be a form of divorce. I believe when I run into situations like that where people are living together and, you know, honestly, I guess they have that option, but my counsel would be someone living together, they have children together in particular, I would tell them, you're already yoked. You know, I would ask them, does this person abuse you? Does this person mistreat you? And if so, then I wouldn't recommend that. But I would recommend they stay together and make it right before God. And then they have this situation of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I think you ought to know at least what your pastor would do. I'm not out there just trying to marry people. What I'm out there trying to do is get people to make things right before God. That's my objective. So it's difficult, right? It's difficult, but the principle is this. So all these guys right here, never, ever, ever think about liking somebody that's not a Christian. All these singles right here, picked on you Wednesday, I'll leave you alone today. Every one of you, never, ever date someone that's not a Christian. You know, I mean, I'm telling you this. You know, what I would tell my kids is, don't ever even think about liking somebody that's not already serving the Lord, because every guy is such a loser. All guys are losers. L, 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 and L. Right? Every guy is a loser. And so, just trust me. I believe that. You back there in the back row too. And it's this, don't you ever date anybody that's not already serving the Lord, not already active and just loving the Lord, and because you know what, guys will do anything. What do I need to do? Oh, I need to come to church, I'll come to church. What do I need to do? Oh, I need to do that, I'll do that. Just as long as I get you. You know what? So, I want to tell you this, the Bible message is, we should never, ever think about it, should never be yoked with an unbeliever. I even tell people that with contracts, right? Don't have a contractual agreement that you can't get out of with an unbeliever, right? This is the principle of God's Word. And so, mixed marriages, saved versus lost. Now turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Here's what he says. He says in verse 12, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, she be pleased, withdraweth him, let him not put her away. So the first thought of mixed marriages is, don't divorce. Isn't that what verse 12 says? It says, and if she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. It says the same thing for the woman that has an unbelieving spouse. If he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Because you could see, Paul was beginning to preach very strongly, you should not marry an unsaved person if you're a Christian. And so the people that are married to a lost person are going, well, I'm going to divorce them. And Paul says, no, the principle is don't divorce. Now, I will tell you, so we're looking at the second reason for biblical divorce. You see that it says, you see this, I'll show you this, look at verse 15, you see this, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. Under bondage, under the law, you're free to remarry. Look at verse 39 of this same chapter, I'll give you the third reason. You'll see why I'm saying at verse 15, you're not under bondage. Look at verse 39 of chapter 7. It says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So the three reasons I find in the Bible that are biblical reasons for divorce that would allow you to remarry without sin would be unfaithfulness, fornication, adultery, would be desertion, right? They depart. Or would be death. Now I will tell you this. So, you guys need to know where your pastor's at. So, here's where I'm at. I think we ought to have mercy. I think we ought to have love. I think we ought to have forgiveness. So, the Bible says this. Look at verse 12 again, it says, "If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let him not leave him." You know this? I want to tell you this. I at least want you guys to know. If some guy is beaten on his wife, is he pleased to dwell with her? He's not. First thing I do when somebody calls and they're upset about their marriage, I say, "Is he beating on you?" If they say yes, I say, "Get out of there." He's already departed his responsibilities. Look, I'm telling you this. Men, just know this. It's a big deal for me. It was a big deal with my son. You ever hit a girl? You ever hit a girl? Boy, I'm telling you. You ever hit a girl? You ever hit a girl? That's right. Because I will lose my pastorate because I'm not supposed to be a brawler, and I love that. I love that you treat her right. That's important. And she's going to make you feel sometimes like you want my wife to come and slap her. And so, a man should never lay a hand on a woman, ever. 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 I will tell you this, ever. It's a big deal for me. I'm telling you, it's unacceptable. It was unacceptable in my household. I mean, if Rachel was on top of Josh, boom, 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 he was not allowed to hit her. You know, she never did that. She wanted to. There's never a place. You understand that? Never a place. Don't you ever aggressively grab, hit, smack a woman ever. You understand that? I believe that's a departure of a man's responsibility. And I believe that would fulfill that he's departed. And I think they could biblically get divorced. I tell you that. That's what I believe. I will never tell somebody to stay in a situation where they're physically at risk. I'm just not going to do it. And look, I'm not trying to be edgy with the scriptures. I'm just telling you, I want to teach the Bible. And it's not just talking about physically dwelling with them. And you know what? I don't know of anything going on here, but here's the reality. You know what's so sad is women are abused by their husbands and no one ever knows about it. And for whatever reason, they hang in there with that. I'm just telling you this. If there's any man in here that's doing that, I'm telling you this. I don't know about it, but you need to repent. It's evil, and God is so unpleased with you. There's no place for that. Never. There's not one reason ever for a man to hit a woman. I know. You're saying, man, I know. It's a little pet peeve of mine, right? And so, I know. There's probably, you know, you could say, well, there's no way for a man to drive a 13x9 pan. I probably shouldn't, but I don't think that's as bad. But I shouldn't have dropped the 13x9 pan. I agree. Stupid. Dumb. But I'll tell you this. The Bible says this. Here's what the Bible says. If you have a mixed marriage, saved spouse, lost spouse, the Bible says this. Don't divorce. Don't you love the clarity of the Bible? Can't you see the flow now? Paul's saying it's best to be single. Then Paul later says in the letter to Corinth and 2 Corinthians, and he was probably still preaching it, you should only be married to a saved person. And then people go, oh, that's my ticket out. I can divorce them now because they're lost. And then can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? No one can know the heart. All you have to do is say, oh, I know they're lost. They're lost, lost. And all of a sudden you got the ticket for being divorced because all you have to do is figure out, no, they're lost. I know it. I don't care what you think. They're lost. Trust me. You know, God doesn't give us that leeway, does He? He says this, if they're pleased to dwell with you, then don't depart. Don't depart. Don't you love that? Now, I love this. The Bible's so good because you know this? God knows what our response would be. Do you know what our response would be? And He says, why? Why does it matter? Because here's what He says. Look at this. He says in verse 14, He says, for if the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. God will protect your children. Isn't that good news? Don't you love that? You know, we have situations where we have a saved spouse and a lost spouse in our small church to this day, right? We have that. Don't you love that? That says this. God says this. Here's the reality. You would think the worst situation in the world is to have a divided home. A wife or husband that's saved, a wife or husband that's lost. That is just going to destroy the children. Can't you hear that argument? And it would make complete sense. Because God says this. God says, don't hang around lost people. Don't hang around people that don't love Jesus. You're not only hanging around them, but you're living with them. They're your spouse. You can't get any closer but one flesh. And so I could hear the logic. I'm doing this for our children. And God says this. I'll take care of that. Be encouraged. Isn't that encouraging? I love that. Don't you love that? God says this. Hey, you do it my way. I know this. It might seem completely logical. It doesn't make sense for a saved person to be married to a lost person. So you know what? You think you'd be doing better for your children? Here's what God says. It'd be better if you stayed together. That's what God says. Isn't that good news? You know, I don't think my mom listens to my messages, so I think I can share this. And I love my mom. She's remarried, and I love my stepfather. He's a great guy. And I love my mom and dad, right? I'm convinced I was a test tube baby, though. And because there was no love there, right? And so, you know, my parents were in the old culture. They were in the old culture that said, you know what? It was, I'm going to get in a little trouble here, but if I heard it one time, I heard it 1,000 times. When the kids are gone, I'm out of here, you know. And so it was rough. But I'm going to tell you this. I think I'm a product of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. God protected us. Because I'm telling you this. When I look back at it and I think, you know, they loved us. They loved us. They were great parents. I'm not saying that. My heartbreak for them is they didn't get to appreciate and enjoy each other, right? They missed out on that. And I've been so blessed to have that. They missed out on that. I remember my dad, so I'll share this. My mom, man, when the kids got out, boom, she left. She did, man. It's like 30 seconds. And she was out of there, right? And so, and then my dad came and, you know, she came back. And then he got Parkinson's. And then he had extreme Parkinson's and he was in the nursing home. You know, my mom went to that nursing home every day until he passed. And I remember being at the hospital bed with my dad days before he died. And my mom said this. She said, I fell in love with a man I never knew. She loved the man that had Parkinson's. And she just didn't get to enjoy that during their marriage. But I want to tell you this. I speak about this passage from experience. You would think, I mean, it was rough. But they stayed together, and God blessed. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. Again, I'm not picking on people. That, you know, there are horrible circumstances that, you know, end in divorce, and I'm here to have compassion on that. But I want to tell you this. If you're married and you have a lost spouse, a reason to get divorced is not because you think it'll destroy your children. God says He's got that one. The second reason I want you to see, and I'm not far from a close. The second reason is God says this, He may save your spouse. Don't you love that? Don't you love the Word of God? Paul says this, and it's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Isn't that good news? It's this. I want you to be encouraged today. God just doesn't say that just as some fluffy know-nothing. God says this. I want you to be clear. I don't believe in verse 14 when it says the wife is sanctified by the husband and the husband by the wife. I don't believe that guarantees their salvation. I believe this, that there is some benefit, there is some blessing, that they are set aside under righteousness. They are set aside and God specially protects that situation. That's not necessarily ideal, is it? So I want to tell you, God addresses these things. Here's what He addresses. He's saying this. He understands that there are some circumstances that, you know, He says, you know, I get it. Adultery, desertion, death, you can remarry. He says this then. He says, you know, I know it's difficult. If you're married and your spouse is not, if you're married and you're saved and your spouse is not, that's difficult. But he's like this. There's two reasons. I'll take care of your children, God says. And he says, secondly, you hang in there. He just might save your spouse. You see, what'll hurt you if you're married to someone that's lost is if you lose that hope. If you lose that hope, then you won't be as kind. If you forget that you are Jesus Christ to that lost spouse, you'll forget. You'll start mistreating them. I want you to know this. I have a friend that every day he comes home. Chung, chung. He walks in the front door. Chung, chung. The wife goes to her room. Chung, chung. Closes the door. He takes care of everything at home. Takes care of the kids. I want to tell you this. He's the greatest Christian I know. I don't know one person in my life that I believe loves Jesus Christ more than this guy. Nobody loves Jesus like this guy. This guy is amazing. This guy would sit down and he would say, well, I know why the Lord's allowing this. And I'm like, wow, okay. Look, you know what? I would do? I would have divorced her. And I would have planned on never being remarried again. And you know what he said? I'm going to love her. I'm going to do what's right. You know she goes to church with him now? And there's just little lights here and there. Who knows but God might save her. And you know what God's done in his life is, I don't know a better Christian in my life. I'll meet with him and I'm like, and he just, you know, he's not, if I could only explain, he never brags. I always ask him questions, how you doing, and, you know, and how's life, and I want to tell you this, he has never complained about this woman, ever. You know, here's as good as it gets. He'll have tears sometimes, and he'll say, just pray for me. I need to be faithful in my heart. And I'm like, well, that's the only time you can hit her, man. This is the only exception. No, I mean, isn't that terrible? He loves Jesus Christ enough to say, if that's what God wants, that's the cross I'll bear. You see, all of this is about Jesus Christ. I know I've talked all about marriage today, and I think marriage is important. If our marriages aren't right, then our service to the Lord Jesus Christ can't be right. But remember this, everything is about Christ. Most of us in this room, we've got it made. What do we do with God's blessings? Do we serve the Lord? Do we love people? Are we willing to put up with just the extremes of life? I want to beg you today, love your spouse and love the Lord. Let's pray.